Let's use that as a clue. Just a game. A well-known game, but part of it could also be back and forth. Elaine also knew Vol. Game is the better clue of the ones I just gave you. Stick around. Our Youth Express Hour is coming up, and I do hope you'll stay tuned. We have students from Keystone Oaks and the Odyssey of the Mind program that will join us in about half an hour. And we also have writers from the Scholastic Art and Writing Awards program. And maybe an artist about to join us. Bill in Homer City knew that we were looking for a vol. And Ricky, is that you identifying Volare as the Dean Martin song? That would have been a good clue for another one. That's probably what you were doing, and I just ruined it. Gail in Stanton Heights knew that Back and Forth was Folly, as did Richard on the north side. And when I changed the clue to game, Alan knew we were looking for volleyball. And Gary and the gang in Franklin also knew volley. What a lot of fun together. Thank you for being here. Stick around. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at 88.3 WRCT, Pittsburgh 90.1 WIUPFM, Indiana 90.7 WMCO, New Concord 90.7 KRDP, Apache Junction, Goldfield, Goodstown, Phoenix 91.1 WSAJ FM, Grove City 91.7 WCUC FM, Clarion 91.7 WNJR, Washington 102.9 WKYW LP, Kaiser, West Virginia. Tube City Online at WMCK.FM, McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org.
Just a little puddle of muddy water left there after the rain. I got down on my knees, I looked close, I saw things I couldn't explain. There was all these itty bitty teeny weeny little tiny creatures swimming and slashing about. I put my ear down to that puddle, I could hear one of them shout, "We're going to the amoeba hop, everybody gonna be there." Got my eye on a cute paramecium, you know the one with the wavy hair. Rocking and rolling, shaking ourselves and flapping up flagella all over. Well, the good times don't never gonna stop when you go to the amoeba. Sharp protozoan swinging all by himself. He was looking for a partner to shake the leg with, but everyone was dancing with everybody else, so he was so lonely till Mother Nature showed him what to do. He boogied down, he did a little binary fission, split himself in two, and now he's got a partner for the amoeba hop. Everybody gonna be there. My oh, my oh, nucleoli, have you ever seen such perfect pair? Rocking and rolling, shaking their cells and slapping their cilia all over. Some folks think that one-celled animals don't know how to swing. People who say that are wrong, 'cause I saw a band of algae get up there and sing.
When the red robin comes bop, bop, bopping along,
but to them it's a monster song. And the bugle was jumping, so was I guess I lost my head. In my excitement I splashed it dry. Oh my God, I thought they was dead, but no, they just come splashing down right here to my head. And sure enough, I can still hear that swinging algae band swing. We're going to the amoeba hop, everybody gonna be there. Got my eye on a cute bear museum, oh look at the hair girls, look at the hair. Rockin' and rollin',
sick of ourselves, slapping soda party all over. Well, the good times don't never gonna stop when you go to the Emmy Bar. Good times don't never gonna stop when you go to the Emmy Bar.
Amoeba Hop from Christine Lavin here at the Saturday Light Brigade. Gary and Mike both knew Volley from our last hour as we were looking for words beginning with the letters V-O-L. You know, this is something you can do later today or sometime in the weekend. Pick a pattern of letters at the beginning or end of a word and have fun challenging people you're with to come up with answers. I mean, it's a fun thing to do, especially on a rainy day like today. It's also fun to hear original writing, and we have three such examples coming up in a moment.
Prime Stage Theater joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. Prime Stage Theater's production of 12 Angry Men takes place at the New Hazlett Theater in Pittsburgh's Northside from May 2nd through 11th as part of its 28th season of Strength, Voices, and Hope. More details are available at primestage.com.
Listening to the Saturday Light Brigade on a smartphone, tablet, or computer is as easy as visiting slbradio.org, where you'll find an easy-to-use audio player to hear our live program on Saturdays from 6 a.m. to noon Eastern and a 24/7 stream of past programs at other times. You can also hear SLB on free apps such as TuneIn, Radio Garden, Simple Radio, and Streama by opening the app and searching on SLB or the Saturday Light Brigade. The internet is a great way to join us from anywhere in the world from 6 a.m. to noon Eastern.
And hello to Rick, who's listening in Saigon, Vietnam this morning. Thank you for letting us know you are there and tuned in. I'd like to introduce you to three writers. Each is in their teens. Two are siblings. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves to you. We'll just go right around like this. And please tell us your name, the grade you're in, where you go to school. And if you have any shout outs, this is the perfect time to do it. And Ira, we'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Ira. I'm an eighth grader at Shadyside Academy.
Hi, everyone. My name is Uma, and I'm just really glad to be here today. I'm a freshman at Shadyside Academy, and right now I just want to thank my parents for always being there for me and supporting my writing, so thank you.
Hi, I'm Lila. I'm a 10th grader at Avonworth High School, and I would like to shout out my parents, my friends, for listening to me talk about this writing, and a couple of my teachers, Dr. George, Mr. Afana, Miss Arnold. Thank you.
I'm glad to have all of you here. Let's talk about writing before you share your writing. Each of you clearly loves to write, and I'm curious what you love about it, and it's simply what gives you pleasure as a writer, and any of you can just jump in with an answer.
So I feel like writing is really a great way to express your feelings if you're not really comfortable with saying them aloud. And personally for me, I wrote something about an obstacle that I encountered, and I feel like the best way I could express what I was feeling at the time was through writing. So that's why I feel like writing is a really great opportunity for me.
Thanks, Uma.
Writing has always been a way for me to communicate about things that are important to me to an audience that I may not necessarily be able to talk to face to face, and just like using other kinds of media as inspiration is ability to funnel that and maybe put my own spin on it.
That was Lila, and that is a really interesting approach. When you say using other kinds of media, do you mean things you might listen to or watch?
Well, it really depends. For example, my science fiction story was heavily inspired by things like Star Trek, the Seth MacFarlane show, The Orville, and also a lot of music. I have a whole playlist dedicated to these characters.
Interesting. I remember some of your writing from before. Ira, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that writing is a really fun and just overall great way to express things in words that you have trouble, like, in difficulty saying out loud. Like, I'm kind of bad at forming words out loud when I'm forced to, like, think on the spot, but I like the fact that you can, like, go and review and change what you write and just make it better.
Do you think that writing makes you a better speaker, a more articulate conversationalist or speaker?
Yeah, I think so, because it improves, like, your vocabulary, because sometimes you want to know how to say something and you go look up some words that you could possibly use, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to use this later. So I guess it also helps you, like, form words, like, better.
I'm curious now, do you find it easy to, if you have an idea, or is it easy to write, or do you sometimes find it hard to, you know, sit down and get started? It's not a very good question, maybe, but I sometimes I think folks that want to write might procrastinate, or they just don't to it. And now I see Lila nodding her head. Tell me what you're thinking.
I am doing the exact same thing right now. I'm actually starting my work on my Scholastic pieces for next year, one of which is a dramatic script and maybe a full novel adaptation of the piece that I'm going to share. But I need to start writing those, and I haven't, and I don't know why.
It's hard to understand why. Can you two relate to that?
Yeah, in a way I can, because normally when I'm writing an essay, I tend to procrastinate a lot because normally the topic doesn't really mean something to me, or I kind of struggle to actually complete it or know what to write. But I feel like when I wrote my memoir this year, it kind of really came to me easily because the topic means a lot to me, and I feel like I didn't procrastinate, and I relatively finished this piece pretty quickly because I really knew what to write and the words kind of flowed on the paper. And I think you don't really procrastinate when you're writing something that means a lot to you.
Yeah, I agree, because I also have difficulty in like writing essays because the topic, it's like just not interesting, and I find that it's hard to elaborate on. Like, I tend to learn a lot about stuff that I'm actually interested in and then just slack off in things that I'm not. So I find it, like, hard to like start writing without inspiration or something that I'm really passionate about.
That explains probably why you both like memoir. And in the case of Lila, creating the worlds that you create in your stories and the characters are probably more, you're more passionate about jumping into self-directed writing than somebody giving you a prompt and telling you, you know, write about a garden or write about an issue of social justice, just pick one and write about it, which is interesting. Some people really want prompts to try to focus them, but it sounds like the three of you are really, one thing you have in common is you're very self-directed in terms of what you want to write about. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, let's have you, anybody else want to say anything about those topics before you share?
I was just going to say that why I do also procrastinate on stuff that I feel very strongly about. Maybe that's like more of a me issue than anything, but I just thought it was funny, like the differing perspectives, because like, except for my memoir, which I'm not going to be sharing, but I just wrote it. I wrote it in my notes app at like 2 a.m. I guess you can't really procrastinate on that.
Anything you two wanted to add?
Yeah, I feel like especially with memoir writing, I feel like these ideas can really come to you any time during the day. And what I love to do is as soon as I kind of get ideas, I love to write them down. And normally, whenever these ideas just come to me, these happen to be some of my greatest writing pieces. So I feel like writing isn't something that like you have to think a lot of to really come up with, but it's something that means a lot to you.
Good. I appreciate you sharing that. Let's see, we sort of decided who was going to go first. We used the very scientific method of rock, scissors, paper. Did you do best of three? Or did you just the first one? And Ira, or no, Uma is going to be our first sharer. And I'm going to just turn things over to you, Uma, if you've got anything we need to know before you share what you brought. Let us know, but it's all yours.
Okay, so I was wondering if I should just introduce my piece and after I should start reading it, or...
Yes, I think that would be fun.
Okay, so this year I wrote a memoir, and I believe that it provides a gaze into my experiences dealing with something known as selective mutism, and it's kind of about how the prejudice I faced at school and how something that I believed was my greatest obstacle formed the person I am today. So initially, it was really challenging to write about something that caused a lot of hardship at the beginning of my life, but I feel like writing this piece was really necessary to discover how much I've grown and kind of discover pieces of myself that I thought were lost. So I really want this memoir to inspire other people struggling with selective mutism or severe anxiety, and always remember how important your voice truly is and how people will always be there to support you when you're going through this. So I think I'll just get started reading my piece. Okay. So my piece is called A Star in the Sea. Okay. Silence. Several eyes locked with mine, holding an intense focus. Eyes filled with a sense of sympathy and even slight understanding. Abruptly, I felt her cold, rough hand seize my shoulder as her judging eyes bore into my soul. Under her glare, I helplessly began to tense up, attempting to squeak out the words trapped in my throat. Suddenly, she angrily pointed to my wooden toy box filled with colorful shapes, as if I committed some sort of treasonous crime. Those colorful shapes gave me joy beyond words, and my excitement was riled up to play with it. Suddenly, in an accusatory tone, she remarked, "I saw it first. It's mine. Give it back." I was desperate to tell her how she misunderstood me and how much I wanted the small wooden box, but words seemed to be choked up and trapped inside me. She quickly moved closer, braids swinging wildly from her head as if they wanted revenge. Her hands held a tight grip on the box as she executed a wild attempt to reclaim it for herself. My hands refused to budge. Overwhelmed by her actions, tears began to brim at my eyes, only suppressed by my determination to protect something that was rightfully mine. She rapidly began prying my hands off the box in desperation as I slowly began losing my grip. In one final attempt, she forcefully seized the box as colorful shapes flew from one corner of the room to the other. Shapes covered the floor like a messy mosaic, chaotic but still beautiful. The girl gave me a bloodshot stare filled with hatred and distaste as I momentarily lost my focus to the mosaic. She furiously stormed away, leaving me with dried tears lining my eyelids. As I carefully looked upwards, several of my classmates' eyes met with mine, harboring expressions of pity and even sympathy. To my horror, some were holding back laughter as they smirked at each other to avoid looking in my direction. It was as if time had frozen and everyone was staring at me as I was trapped in the center of it all. After they lost their focus on the matter, I found myself miserably trudging over to the dispersed shapes, picking up each one delicately and placing them back within the box. Then again, for what felt like forever, there was another dismal day of silence. Since what had felt like the beginning, I had always imagined myself as a star in the sky that was plunged into the ocean. Always lost and a misfit compared to my surroundings, I felt as if I didn't belong anywhere. There were always obstacles lurking, ready to tear me apart as I fought them with all my strength. Suddenly, my brightness was dimming. While in school, several of my classmates would intentionally avoid me, walking away swiftly as I approached them, as if I had a contagious disease. This pattern expanded to the point where others would answer questions I was asked on my behalf, and were always praised with the excuse, "She doesn't talk, I'm just trying to help her." As I passed through the hallways, many would whisper questions about my behavior, asking why I would never utter a single word and what was wrong with me. Truthfully, I didn't have an answer. In reality, I'd always tried to force the words out of my throat, but some invisible force had always held them back. It wasn't just these words that hurt me, but it was the pain of the loneliness that I experienced from never truly being heard. As I was picked up by my parents later that day, I intently gazed out the car window, reading every sign and counting every car as they sped past us on the highway. Concerned by my behavior, my dad found himself asking, "How was school today? Did you meet any new friends?" I deliberately ignored his constant questioning and concentrated closer on the passing cars, hoping we would reach home soon. Upon arriving home, my dad hurriedly rushed to my mom, whispering something in her ear and staring with a look of worry. I then realized how I never meant to pass my own school fears to my parents and felt an extreme guilt for making them worried. Overwhelmed by what happened, I found myself sinking into the floor as if my veins were filled with sand, dragging me downwards. My parents comforted and hugged me, asking how I was feeling. I could no longer hold in this humiliation, and suffocating feelings from school rushed back to me. I began to sob uncontrollably as words yet again were trapped inside me. My parents, shooting a final glance at each other, came to a silent decision. The following day, I found myself inside a large yet crowded office, with both my parents sitting on each side of me. Both bore a monotonous expression on their faces as they viewed the room's gaudy decor. Confusion flashed across my face as I embraced the unfamiliarity of the room. The couch we sat on was tattered in a bright yellow in color, further matching the room's artificial mood. Several posters of kids' cartoons were messily posted on the walls, hiding their sky blue paint. Significantly, the most intriguing aspect of the room was the strange woman sitting right in front of me. She wore a bright floral print dress and had a beaming smile on her face. She locked eyes with me and exclaimed, "How are you doing? My name is Dr. Jenny and I would like to know more about you." I quickly made an attempt to hide behind my mom, hoping she would forget I was there. My mom shot me a stern look, causing me to slowly raise my head to meet her warm gaze. She gave me another small smile and allowed me to adjust to where I was. As I eased back into the couch, my parents began to explain my behavior at school, as she listened to every word intently. Afterwards, she began to describe symptoms similar to what I had previously experienced in school. The condition she was describing is known as selective mutism, or in simpler terms, deciding when to speak, commonly caused by severe anxiety. What she described was accurate to me, but I had never chosen to be silent. The words had always seemed to be trapped inside me, hoping for an escape. I gave her a long, confused expression as she looked at me with understanding. From then on, I met with her as she nudged me closer to expressing my voice and tried to make me feel safe around her. She always had immense patience and showed me how to find peace within my surroundings. I uncovered how to cope with anxiety attacks through effective techniques and grounding myself to the world around me. She made me realize how I may get criticized for my views or ideas, but if I never express them, the world will fail to see my true identity. Ultimately, I would have never known that others value my voice if I had never received support from those who truly cared about me. Sharing my perspective not only built my confidence, but also formed stronger relationships with those around me. To this day, my experiences serve as a constant reminder of the helplessness and fear that I was so adapted to, and how growth might happen when someone is least expecting it. Something that may have seemed like an impossible obstacle in my life transformed me into the person I am today. Every obstacle I encountered formed my identity, from the silent girl with selective mutism to the outspoken one who is recognized for her skills in debate. Most importantly, I gained an understanding of how people who believe in you will always show support, even when it feels like the world is against you. I realize now that I can't spend my entire life being afraid of how others see me, because in the end, my views are what shape me as a person. A star may never belong in the sea, but as long as it continues bright, it will never suffer in a world filled with darkness. Thank you.
Uma, that was absolutely incredible and brave. Thank you for sharing it. I think a lot of people are going to be helped and moved by what you wrote. Uma's 15 and in ninth grade at Shadyside Academy. Thanks for sharing that. Next, we are ready to go with Lila, and we'll do the same thing. Please introduce your work, and then you can share what you're ready to share.
So I wrote a science fiction piece called The Aurea, and it's heavily inspired by things like Star Trek and other general science fiction. It has a lot of like random science bits mixed in, and it's just kind of a bit of a fun story that touches on the ideas of identity, personal choice, and how far life takes you to discover who you actually are as a person. So, I'll start. The Aurea station is the first of its kind, an exoplanet orbital space station that serves as a replacement for all those other outdated systems like Gateway and Hera. Of course, it uses helium-3 for fuel. Aisha Temrun often got into arguments with Jeddah, the majority of them in good faith. However, Aisha was given level 6 clearance, and Jeddah wasn't. It was apparent Aisha usually won. Ash, you just know that because your mother is the Admiral. It's called nepotism. Jeddah leaned back in her cafeteria chair, eating her synthesized chicken soup. As an intern in the nourishment lab, she was able to pick from a greater variety of food and use that privilege liberally. You can read about it if you want. It's not like any of the blueprints are classified. Girl, you know I can't decipher that stuff. I'm not training to be an admiral like you. Aisha sighed and looked out the window. The exostation, known as Aurea, was in careful orbit around the planet Gil-C-667-CC, nicknamed Vejovis, by the Aurea crew. The three stars shone as brightly as ever, as they had for the 17 years Aisha lived in the station. A careful life, kept under the promise of a spot at North Star, the most prestigious PSF university. I'm just going to pause and say I didn't explain what some of these terms mean. PSF is the Planetary Space Foundation. That's kind of like their federation, and Exostation is just a space station. Wow, touched a nerve, I guess. Not really, Jed. It's just that's all anyone talks about with me. That's because you treat it as your entire personality. I do not. All you do is watch retro Star Trek and take notes. Who takes notes during Star Trek? I'm done with this conversation. Aisha stood up and grabbed her tray, silverware neatly organized. You're no fun. Ignoring her, Aisha walked away, carefully placing her tray on the rotating cart to be washed and reused. To tell the truth, she was still hungry. But she didn't doubt the nutritional science of the PSF. Everyone got exactly what they needed for themselves, and yet no one felt full. After depositing her tray into the dispenser, she returned to her quarters on the left habitational wheel. The teen wing was buzzing with activity, as it typically was. Cliques of teenagers fluttered around the common room, none of them paying attention to Aisha. Walking past them, she opened the door of her room. Aisha's room was no doubt the room of someone expected to do great things, yet everyone was unsure if she could actually achieve them. Spare computer parts littered her desk, left over from one of her latest projects. Her black sheets were neatly folded, and her blue uniform that denoted her rank as a student was neatly arranged in her closet. Everything was pristine. As Aisha sat at her desk, her internet-connected contact lens instantly lit up with different blueprint ideas she had uploaded. While she was training to command a military astroship or become a captain on some sort of exostation, her real love was with the art of invention. Yet it was seen as vital that she stayed on the same course that defined her life. In this room, she wasn't a Tamroon, nor was she simply anyone else she did not have to be. She was simply Ash, inventor and human. She focused her eye on a particular blueprint, mapping it onto a more significant section of her retina. Some of the engineers down at the depot had noticed both her excellent grades and her passion for technology, and likewise offered to let her design a chip for a robot made to fix the hull of the station. Jet would probably reckon that she only got the role because of her mother, probably cementing the fact with some noise that frankly made Aisha's head hurt. Surprisingly, Aisha's mother had not been involved at all at this. Her mother actively wished that she would stop this invention nonsense and do something productive. Her mother saw that every day Aisha was not actively working to be accepted to North Star, she was a day closer to her own retirement, farther from the Tamroon legacy. Aisha was so deep in thought, carefully trying to remodel the PCB, that she barely noticed the knock on the door. "Come in," she quietly answers, not wanting to distract herself from her work. In entered her mother, Admiral Aditha Tamroon. Her mother was an intense sort of woman, with sharp features and an even sharper mind. Her nurturing qualities left something to be desired, be it with her crew or with her daughter. She was simply Admiral Tamroon, more of an idea than a person. "Aisha, I've a favor to ask." Her tone was stern, her posture perfect. To be frank, she looked like a recruitment poster for the PSF, and Aisha was simply her heavily offset shadow. "I only ask this as I see you're not doing anything important." Behind her mother, a tall girl stood with an out-of-regulation leather jacket, a blonde shag haircut, and the audacity of 500 recently graduated lieutenants. The right corner of her mouth was turned up, and it was infuriating. "This is Wynn Rozak, a new crewmate at Oria. Aisha had heard that there was a shuttle docking today with only one passenger. Show her around, get to know her, maybe actually find something useful to do," her mother continued. Aisha sighed and stood up, turning to fully face Wynn, while her mother curtly turned and walked away. "Where are you from?" Aisha asked, with a slightly unsure tone in her voice. "I came from the Europa B orbital, got transferred here after an unfortunate situation." Wynn tightened her fingerless gloves and smiled like the unfortunate situation wasn't too unfortunate. "And you're a student for ship mechanic and pilotry. That's why you have the leather jacket? Ain't it pretty?" Wynn smiled genuinely, her out-of-regulation appearance striking her, and her personality even more so, but yet she continued bluntly. "I presume your mother didn't assign me to you on account of your fashion opinions, so show me around this dump." Aisha walked past Wynn, who quickly followed behind her. "Oria is not a dump. It is a pristine colony, which is the envy of even Europa." "I highly doubt that. Europa had much better people. Like..." "Well, the resident admiral's daughter wasn't a stuck-up loser. I mean, what did Aisha expect? The first attractive girl that comes around in a long time regards Aisha as the bane of her existence, such as the way it worked, be it on Earth, Europa, or Oria. At least her new shipmates actually listened to authority." "Fair." The tour was remarkably uneventful. Wynn refused to ask any questions, only making snide comments under her breath, which became quite exhausting after a while. When it came time for dinner, Wynn ended up at the small table that seemingly usually contained only Jetta, Aisha, and a few girls who floated around the teen room yet had no friends themselves. Wynn leaned back in her chair, picking at the dish that definitely wasn't made out of crickets. I mean, it was, as most meat dishes on astroships and exostations were, but it still grossed her out, so best to not think about it. Namely, she had to think about why she was sent here in the first place. She took a look at the girl reading across from her, her brown hair neatly pulled up out of her face, curly tendrils framing her concentrated face. She seemed nice, if not a bit repressed, but Orion had its orders. What a shame. Helping the newcomer... So it switched perspectives, and we're back to Ayesha's perspective. Helping the newcomers around Aria was usually quite exhausting, if not enjoyable. Ayesha would listen intently to their stories, generally consisting of their time on astroships, considering she had never been on one. The PSF reached far, after all. Even though Aria was primarily a station with humans, there were other civilizations in the PSF, and they always had wonderful stories to tell. So you're saying that you stole a transport shuttle with the daughter of the Europa Fleet General, and we almost crashed into the interstation. Don't forget that. Wynn flicked a piece of paper straw wrapper at Ayesha, completely ignoring the social protocols of a library. Of course, Aria's book tablet collection wasn't as large as a heavy cruiser astroship, but these astroships did not have a quantum internet system. Ayesha suppressed a laugh at Wynn's flagrant disobedience of PSF regulations and tried to focus on her schoolwork. Is that what you guys do for school here? It looks boring as hell. Mapping wormholes isn't that boring. You sure? It's better with you here. What do you mean by that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Ugh. Sure, Novi. Wynn had this endearing, and then a cross out, and says annoying habit of giving everyone a pet name, no matter how soon they had met. They had only talked for 2 days, but the connection between them seemed to run infinitely deep in a way that warped the space-time around them, much like the wormhole she was still feverishly trying to map. The indifference of the cosmos was almost refreshing, and yet Ayesha's years on Aria had never exactly felt lovely. Love was something that happened to other people. It was a hushed whisper, a pair of binary stars orbiting each other endlessly, the gut feeling of a lifetime connection. For a while, Ayesha wasn't convinced it was real. She would look up, is love real, or some other sappy philosophical question on the internet, and the qubits would forever organize themselves into the same answer, inconclusive. No one could know anything, she supposed, not even the building blocks of it all. And then we switch again. Pox, you gotta get the job done and then get out. The hologram repeated again to an irritated Wynn, who wasn't exactly warming up to this job. She's literally a kid, my age, and I happen to like her. She doesn't have anything to do with the Tamaroons. And yet, she is one of them. She's the most vulnerable. It should be easy. It's not as simple as that, and you know it. Wynn felt her voice rising, bubbling, trying to desperately escape her throat, and all that came out was an impassioned, strangled whisper. They still had to be quiet, as Wynn wasn't sure if the quarters had soundproof walls. One energy blast to the back of the head is, in fact, simple. You knew what you signed up for. With all due respect, you told me I was going after the Admiral, not a civilian. You do know this is a war crime, right? And I don't care. Orion's central goal is to bring down the Tamaroon clan and fix all the damage they have done. She doesn't even want to be a Tamaroon. But if you would listen, that's enough, soldier. Take her out, or I'll find someone competent to do the job. Wynn clicked off the hologram, not caring about the reproductions. Orion was created to fix the damage of the PSF, not bring down one family. Guess that's what happens when sibling rivalry gets involved. No matter. Even if her superior was a bitter sister of Admiral Datha, none of this was moral at all. Ayesha was something like a friend, despite the short time they'd spent together, and killing her did absolutely nothing for the rebel cause. Maybe there was something she could do.
Lila, I'm going to stop you there. What a great story. A number of people wrote and said you've created this world that you just lose yourself in. How long is it? Is it going to be a book?
Well, I want it to be a book. I have a lot more ideas and a lot more of this world that I want to explore. And I think it would be fun, but again, I'm dealing with that procrastination.
I think we'd be a great radio serial. You know what I mean? A episodic piece where you share a little bit at a time. You really presented it beautifully. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Thanks for doing it. If you're here for Keystone Oaks, they'll be joining us in a few moments for the full segment. We still have a full segment to do here with Ira, who is our, we're going to go back to memoir and what a difference from this incredible manufactured world. That was created by Lila, and we're going to go to Ira, and I'm going to turn things over to you.
Hi, I'm Ira, and this is my memoir. I wrote it as a school project originally, and I just decided to submit it to Scholastic, and it turned out well, I think. So here we go. Third place isn't the end. The award ceremony had just finished, and I was dragging my feet back to my dad and sister, who were standing a few feet away. My first martial arts, Taekwondo, tournament had just ended, and I was sulking because I was left with nothing but a third-place medal. I should have theoretically been grateful for at least winning something, but my sister was carrying her three first-place medals in front of me. My dad was beaming and proud of both of us. I, unfortunately, did not feel the same way. I trudged along, clutching my cheap bronze medal. It dug an imprint into the skin of my palm, once again reminding me of my failure. The metal was light, like plastic, and was also slightly dented. It was of awful quality, flimsy and scratched. The whole metal looked like it cost less than $3, and it probably did. However, the gold medals my sister were holding were metallic and glossy, like glass, not plastic. The material shone in the midday rays of sunlight. They were impressive, actually impressive. In comparison, mine looked like a plastic participation trophy, which, in essence, it was. I was an egotistical kid. I genuinely thought I should have won first place in every event, but in reality, let's just say my talents were better suited elsewhere. Tiny 7-year-old fists don't really pack that much of a punch, and my speed was comparable to that of a defective toy car. This only fueled my despair. My thoughts were something along the lines of, "Why is the world so cruel?" These thoughts were interrupted by my dad and sister congratulating me. "Hey, good job," my dad exclaimed. My sister added on, "There were some tough kids out there, so I think you did great." I stared at them with an empty, soulless gaze. I was a goofy little kid, so they probably didn't think much of it. My mind drifted off. I thought back to when we were driving. The time was ticking away, and we were about to arrive. I was ecstatic. I was excited. I was also overconfident. I was sure I would win multiple awards and at least one gold medal. I winced at that thought, since the competition had proved to be tough. Tougher than me, at least. There was one girl in my age group who was a little more than a foot taller than me. Some of those kids were absolutely unbelievable, in terms of skill, power, speed, you name it. Thinking back to what I said earlier, who do you think would win? A defective toy car or an absolute giant? I turned back to my dad and demanded we leave, and so we did. However, right before we left, my eyes drifted around the arena gymnasium thingy we were standing in, and I looked around one last time. I looked at the big windows that let rays of natural light in. I looked at the other kids still competing. I looked at my sister. I felt awful. This whole time, I had been comparing myself to her, and it was unfair. She was older, she had different competition, tougher competition. She worked hard for what she achieved, and comparing us was me undermining her achievements and making them about myself. It was wrong of me to compare our different challenges and circumstances, and so I let that part of my despair float away. Eventually, my eyes drifted toward one of the girls who hadn't placed in any events. I winced at the thought of not winning anything. If I'd been in her shoes, I would have been devastated, but she wasn't. A smile spread across her face. She was happy. In fact, she was brimming with joy. I thought it made no sense. Why is she so happy? She didn't even win anything, I thought. I was stumped. I couldn't comprehend it. It was unfamiliar. And so I walked away. In hindsight, this final encounter allowed me to learn a few things. I learned to appreciate what I had accomplished, even if it didn't meet my expectations. The girl who didn't place could have easily been crushed, but she wasn't. She was simply happy to have taken part, to have done her best, and to have enjoyed the experience. It also allowed me to learn that third place isn't the end. Life doesn't stop for you. It wouldn't have mattered if I had gotten first or last. The earth would have kept spinning. This experience was nothing but a cog in the wheel of my mentality, a stain on the white shirt, perhaps. Life kept moving, but I was suspended in place. I got over it eventually, but the time I spent sulking was wasted, and time is irretrievable. Moving forward, I made sure not to let little setbacks affect my mindset. After all, I do think that's a more meaningful way to spend your life.
Ira, that was amazing. Thank you for sharing it. And ironically, what you wrote did receive an award. I thought that was kind of cool that you wrote something describing that other experience, and you were honored for what you wrote. As were all of you. Thank you for being here and sharing some time. Ira, Lila, and Uma in reverse order. Any of you have anything else you wanted to sneak in before we finish up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you so much for having me here, and I really loved sharing my piece, and I'd love to come back next year, so thank you so much.
You bet. You can come by anytime.
I just want to say I loved hearing everyone's like memoirs and different perspectives, and I'm going to hold you to that offer of the radio drama.
Yeah, we can work on that. at our Youth Media Center. Anything you wanted to add, Ira?
Yeah, I'm also very grateful for you having me here. I thought, Lila, I thought your story was very cool. I love the world building, and Uma, I thought yours was very deep and provided a great insight to what you were experiencing.
If you want, when this is over, I can have y'all read the ending.
We'll let you three move on. And Ty, I'll let you know when our Youth Media Center is open, if you want to come back and do more. And in just a moment, there are several groups from Keystone Oaks that are going to join us. And we're going to start by bringing in the Wise Elves, the SpaghettiOs, and the KO Classics. They will be here for our first segment. They're all part of Odyssey of the Minds. You'll get a chance to meet them here at the Saturday Light Brigade. Teams is called KO Classics, and I was just about to ask what KO stands for. Duh. Keystone Oaks is the answer. I'm thinking, is it Knockout? Is it something? No, it's Keystone Oaks. Keystone Oaks School District is here, and they have something amazing going on, and that students from a wide range of grade levels are all involved in Odyssey of the Mind. And we actually have four different teams represented here today. These teams go from fourth grade all the way up through 11th grade. And I'm going to ask, we have three teams in the studio with us now, three team representatives, one from each of three teams. I'm going to ask you to please introduce yourself. And this is a good time to do any shout-outs, if you have any. And William, I'm going to start with you.
Hi, my name's William. I'm from the KO Classics. I want to give a shout out to my coach, Chris, Amy, and then to my other team members, Anna, Sydney, Marion, Bella, Cabri.
Just my team.
Oh, what's your name?
Lena.
And what grade are you in?
Fifth.
What's the name of your team?
Wise Elves.
And who did you want to give a shout out to?
Just all of them.
All of the whole team. Great. And what's your name?
My name is Sophia Taub. I want to give out a shout out to my whole team because they're amazing and they give their all to this OM.
And what's the name of your team?
SpaghettiOs.
SpaghettiOs. Now, I know it's exciting. You guys are all going to Lansing, Michigan. Is that correct? And it's the World Finals. Without talking about the specific project, because that's kind of a secret, what is Odyssey of the Minds? Can you guys talk a little bit about what it is and what you do as part of it?
So basically, Odyssey of the Mind, it's kind of like, it's very driven off of creativity and teamwork and kind of connecting with people socially and letting your mind work, essentially. So basically, there's two different portions of Odyssey of the Mind. It goes into long-term, and then it also goes into spontaneous. So for the long-term portion, they kind of give us like a layout of like different things that you can do. So the team collectively decides like what type of skit they're going to perform, and they kind of get to, I guess, make it in their own way and kind of like execute it for the judges. And if they meet all the requirements, that's when you move on. And then for spontaneous, it's kind of like either a hands-on or a verbal thing where you can you have to like answer something creatively or build something. It's really hard to explain, but
no, you just taught me an aspect of it I didn't realize. So I was thinking it was almost like a robotics or building program where you actually physically build something with your hands. It sounds like that might be part of it, mm-hmm. But you also have things like skits. Is that right?
Yeah.
Tell me about not about your skit, but what does that involve? You just come up with an idea and you have time to work on it.
So, it has to be like 8 minutes long, and it has to be team created, and adults can't help.
And hitting that length has got to be hard, too. And your themes are different for each team and probably for grade levels, too. So there's a skit that you get some time to plan. What is the spontaneous part like? Sophia, is that like they just tell you something and you got to do it?
Well, actually, so there's verbal hands-on and verbal hands-on. Verbal is where you have to say something like, Omer is going to a party. You have to give a description about the party. Like, that's an example of verbal. Hands-on is where you have to build something like from toothpicks and it has to reach a certain height and like that. And then verbal hands-on is where you have to combine both of that.
Wow. And is William, is that the same kind of framework used as you get older, too?
Yeah, it's honestly the same throughout all different things. It's just a different question each time. Like, as she said, there's different prompts that you have to get off of, and it has to be, you can get, like, a creative response or a common response, and essentially you want to go for creative responses.
So, Lena and Sophia are both in fifth grade. You're in 10th grade. Now, have you gone through Odyssey of the Mind when you were as young as they are?
Yeah, so I think I either started in kindergarten or first grade, and then I took a gap year when there was COVID. So I've really been doing it. I kind of grew up with it my whole life.
How, it's hard for you to compare maybe because it's so much part of your life, but how has it impacted you as a person, do you think?
Yeah, so it's really like kind of let me find myself in a way, and I think it's a great outlet for people to really express themselves, because not a lot of people have those like outlets where they can like go act or whatever or sing or do whatever. And Odyssey of the Mind, you can do literally whatever you want. And it's also, I've found a lot of like my like current friends through Odyssey of the Mind, so it's such like a great bonding experience.
You guys must be excited about going to Lansing, Michigan. When does that trip take place?
like at the end of May.
That's not too far from now. And how did you get to do that? You must have, did you win preliminary competitions or what happened?
Yeah, there was a states competition over in the Poconos Mountains. So you start with the regionals level, which we had at Keystone Oaks at the beginning of March. And then we all moved on to the state finals. And then from there, we moved on to the world finals.
That is exciting. I hope you do well. Do you know, are there other teams in the Pittsburgh area that are going? Or is it pretty much just you all?
There's like Mount Lebanon's going. And, like, other places in Pittsburgh.
Well, that's great. I'm really proud of you. Now, why the SpaghettiOs?
So it's the SpaghettiOs because, so Savannah, she was talking about food names, and then she came up with SpaghettiOs randomly. So we all agreed with it because it sounds really cool and it's unique.
And you're not sponsored by SpaghettiOs. They aren't providing you with SpaghettiOs or anything. And then KO Classics kind of makes sense to me, right? Yeah. Keystone Oak. Now that I figured out Keystone Oaks is what KO stands for. And the other team name, the Wise Elves, kind of sounds like Wise Owls, but Elves? Any reasoning behind that?
So in third grade, we kind of became a team, and it was like during Christmas when we made our name. And I don't know who came up with it, but we just came up with Wise Elves.
It's a great name. We're going to get the one other team that's heading to the finals, the Precisely Cut Potatoes, which you could have with SpaghettiOs, I guess. But before we do that, did any of you have anything else you wanted to say or anybody you wanted to thank about the work you've done with Odyssey of the Mind?
I wanted to thank all the parents who supported us because they have to pay for the trips and they have to, like, be able to go there and help us. So it's really great to have family that supports you.
I'm glad you happened to mention that, Sophia. Thank you. Anybody else?
My parents and my coach and also the school district because they're all helping pay with the trip thing.
That's Lena. Thanks. And William?
Yeah, I'd also like to thank all the parents, like everyone who came here today. I want to thank my coaches, Chris and Amy, for their time dedication. It took so much time. Like, they have to take off of work and everything. And they really have pushed us, and they really have believed in us. And that's something you really look for in a coach. And I also want to thank, you know, the school district for helping fund Odyssey of the Mind and the parents for paying for the trip and just everybody. And I want to say, if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking about getting your kid an OM baby, it's the right move.
Odyssey of the Mind and the Keystone Oaks School District, I want to thank you. You guys have a lot of choices of where you can be on a Saturday. Thank you for choosing to be with us. We're going to make a quick change and bring in five more Odyssey of the Mind team members. They'll join us shortly.
Northside Chronicle joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The Northside Chronicle is a nonprofit community newspaper available in print, digital, and mobile formats that provides coverage of the people, places, and events in the 18 Northside neighborhoods of Pittsburgh. Details on the Northside Chronicle are available at thenorthsidechronicle.com.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible with support from individual listeners like you, who believe that great live radio makes a difference in daily life and in our community. Information on how you can support the Saturday Light Brigade is available at slbradio.org/donate.
we'll return to Odyssey of the Mind in just a moment. And after Odyssey of the Mind, we are going to have live music with Acacia Wood, a folk trio. They'll be joining us. I wanted to tell you that if you are between the ages of 12 and 18, or know of somebody that age, we have three terrific camps this summer. And if you are a person who is interested in podcasting, broadcasting, creating music, self-expression, audio recording, these camps are something I'd recommend. I'm a little biased, but our team here at SLB has some great opportunities for you to learn these skills, get creative, make new friends, and have your voice be heard. There are full and partial scholarships available, and you can learn about our camps at slbradio.org/summercamps2025. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, you're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIU-PFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRTP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ-FM Grove City, WCUC-FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW-LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org. Now, there are five members of the Precisely Cut Potato team here today. Several of them, Grace and Afton and Frankie, are here, but they're not in the studio with us by their choice. But Reagan and Alex are representing, and I'm going to ask you to please introduce yourself. And this is a perfect time if you have any shout-outs or hellos. And Reagan, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, hi, I'm Reagan. I'd like to shout out our coach, Jenny, best coach ever.
Hi, my name's Alex. Of course, we're going to give a shout-out to Coach Jenny in the studio today, and shout-out to my parents.
Me too.
And you guys are both in eighth grade, Keystone Oaks, Dormont, and I'm curious just to know about your engagement with Odyssey of the Minds. Some folks are just tuning in and might not have heard the three other teams who were here, but additionally, everybody probably has a different sense of what the program means to them. How would you two describe your experiences?
I've been doing OM since kindergarten. It's a huge aspect of my life. My experience?
Yeah, I mean, what would the difference be were you if you didn't do it, do you think?
I just feel like it gave me, like, a lot of life lessons I've been taught through OM, I feel like, and that, like, I wouldn't have gotten those without it. And
yeah, that makes sense. So there are things you encounter as a result you might not have encountered otherwise. What about you, Alex?
I started Odyssey of the Mind in the first grade, and I skipped COVID, but I've been doing it every year since then. But I've really enjoyed Odyssey of the Mind more than anything. It's just a fun experience because I get to be on a team with a lot of my friends, and it's kind of, we've spent a lot of time together.
Now, what are the kinds of things that you've done, without getting real specific, what are the kinds of activities that you do as part of the Precisely Cut Potatoes team?
This year our skit was kind of about, like, a civilization, and it's all fries. So it's just kind of, like, things you wouldn't really expect, I guess. I mean, in the past, I've done skits, and it's I did the Vegelutionary War last year, and it was the meats against the vegetables instead of.
I like it.
You know.
Who won?
The meats.
Yeah, that was a spoiler alert. I should have given. And how did the Precisely Cut Potatoes get its team name? Was it based on the skit, or?
I mean, this team came together like 2-3 years ago. So we kind of just came, we were brainstorming different ideas, and we were just thinking through different stuff. Kind of as said before, SpaghettiOs. We just had some different ideas, and this one kind of stuck.
So you've kept the name.
Yeah, we've been using this name a couple of years
since through. Fifth grade.
You've got to be excited about going to the finals. Have either of you been to Michigan before?
We've both gone to Worlds. This is my third year, and the way it works is every other year it'll be Michigan, Iowa, Michigan, Iowa. So last year was Iowa, and the year before was Michigan. So I've been to Michigan, and Alex has been to Iowa. So yeah.
So what happens at the Worlds? What's it like?
So World Finals is the week before Memorial Day, and usually everyone arrives Monday or Tuesday. And then there's going to be an opening ceremony at whatever the college's auditorium is, kind of wherever they play basketball usually. And all the teams will get together. There's teams from, I think, five or six different countries. And
wow. I think it's more than that,
yeah,
actually.
It might be even more than that now. And every team's together. They introduce every country, and they'll send a representative from each team to come down onto the floor, and everyone gets together.
It's like in a parade.
And then during the week, there's there's long term and there's spontaneous. Everyone stays in the dorms, and once at the end of the week, gather same place at the auditorium or the arena, and they do the awards. They announce first through sixth place in every division and problem, and the first three teams get a trophy and they come on stage.
That's sounds incredible. When you compete, it sounds to me like you compete in front of judges and they score you. It's not as if like a basketball tournament where you're knocking a team out and then you advance. So you're going to do your activities, I guess, before a panel of judges. So it sounds like you've maybe got a spontaneous activity, a non-spontaneous activity. Any others?
Well, last year, I can, for example, say that our problem at World Finals had 58 teams in it. So we all performed in front of a panel of judges. I think there were seven judges or so. And they score us a score from 1 to 200 for long term. And then at the end of the week, whoever has the highest score is curved the score, and you get a 200 if you have the highest long term score. And then in spontaneous, it's out of 100. We go into the room. It's just us alone. There's usually three or four judges in the room. We get one of the three types of problems, verbal hands-on, or hands-on. And from there, we are scored on the weighted scale again with 1 to 100. And then there's also a third element, which is style, which is based on the long term. And it's five elements from your performance that are scored on a scale of 1 to 50.
Yeah, and the scoring works with long term at least. It's like you choose your problem, and there's like lots and lots of like required elements you have to have, and then each one will be like based on like 3 to 15 points based on creativity for your shooting star or whatever, and things like that.
Wow. And are the judges past Odyssey of the Mind people? I don't know if you know that offhand, but it seems to me like once you have gone through this program, you'd be in a really good position to be a judge.
Some are, some aren't. It just depends on who you are.
Yeah, I mean, there's a problem captain for every problem, which is usually not necessarily a volunteer from one of the teams. They often are Odyssey alums.
Yeah.
So, but every team does have to volunteer a judge, so that way everything gets done.
Ah, okay. So you two have you been judges in the past?
Yeah, no.
Maybe it's the adults.
The adults are judges.
Here. That makes sense.
Shout out our judge, Marianne.
Well, I'm excited for both of you, and I also wish you the best of luck. Is there anything else you want to say about your team? And thank you for representing Perfectly Cut Potatoes. Anything else you'd like to mention about Keystone Oaks or the team?
KO's the best. That's it.
KO's the best. Thank you very much. That's Alex and Reagan representing Keystone Oaks. Do you know how many kids are in your graduating class, roughly?
I think we've got 130 kids, yeah.
Yeah, sounds like a nice size school. Thank you both for being here. It's very good to share what you're doing at Keystone Oaks.